Elizabeth Elliot says, "If you dwell on your own feelings about things, rather than dwelling on the faithfulness, the love, and the mercy of God, then you're likely to have a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. But dwelling on the faithfulness and the love and the mercy of God is always safe," she says, "because He is the same yesterday, today, and forever." Welcome to Gateway to Joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today in this last week of the year about God's pattern for good. Since this is the last week of the year, wouldn't it be the perfect time to cast a backward glance over what God calls His pattern for good? I got that phrase straight out of the Bible. Romans 8:28 says this: "We know that to those who love God, who are called according to His plan, everything that happens fits into a pattern for good. God, in His foreknowledge, chose them to bear the family likeness of His Son, that He might be the eldest of a family of many brothers. He chose them long ago. When the time came, He called them. He made them righteous in His sight, and then lifted them to the splendor of life as His own sons." That's what God does for us. He came to earth as a little baby in order to save us, not to condemn us. The Bible says, "God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." You can be saved if you haven't been. And He came not only to save us from our sins and to save us from eternal punishment, but far more than that, to be a member of the family of God, to bear the family likeness of His Son, as it says here in Romans. We have been chosen, called, made righteous, and lifted to the splendor of life as His own sons. Is that staggering, or is that staggering to me? It is staggering. Every week, I receive letters from many who cannot imagine how this or that fits into God's pattern for good. I'm always quoting this verse: "Everything that happens fits into a pattern for good to those who love God." And I get so many letters from people telling me some horror story and then saying, "Now, Elizabeth, how does this fit into God's pattern for good?" And of course, my answer has to be, I don't know how. And I don't have to know how. I just know that it does. It's God who sees the upper side of the pattern, remember. We only see the wrong side. The day will come when we will see the pattern that God has been working on. We're always trying to figure out how things fit. And the truth is, we've got no business trying to figure them out. These things, which are God's holy and high business, the mysterious unfolding of His ways, they're beyond our comprehension, just as parents can't explain everything to little children because the little children couldn't possibly understand them. We are God's little children, and we have to trust Him because He has promised us that this is true. I also receive many letters from those who have trusted Him through seemingly hopeless tangles of their life's pathway. And they've come out on the other side full of praise. Or sometimes they're still in the tangle and full of praise. I just must read you some of these letters. Remember, 20th century contemporary witnesses to the unchanging truth and workability of the ancient book on which every single Gateway to Joy program is based. And much more than that, witnesses to the unfailing faithfulness of a loving, eternal, sovereign, and tender shepherd. It's to Him that I want to point you always, to the shepherd. And it is to Him that this week's letters point. The first one is from a 29-year-old mother of two handicapped children. Her name is Joan Denlinger. I'm not sure if it's pronounced Denlinger or Denlinger. I think it's probably the latter. She says, "This morning you gave a tremendous talk on the results of bitterness in one's life. How true it is that harboring bitterness in our hearts causes blindness. We no longer can see God. Both of our children are severely mentally and physically handicapped. Kari is 5 and Ryan is 3. The last 5 years have been sprinkled with very difficult times. Lois, the girl that lives with us, helps me with the 24-hour day job that it is to care for my children. It would have been and still would be easy for my husband and me to become bitter against God for allowing, or I should say, creating our only children handicapped. We see them suffer so much that it is almost a routine. But in the midst of all this, we see our children as true gifts from God. They are beautiful, and we love them." And Joan sent me pictures of these dear children. Gifts from God, we love them immensely. The joys that they bring to our family are great, even though their response to us is very limited. Someday, our blind children who are pure in heart will see God. And also my husband and I have had our eyes open even more to the greatness of our God. Our children are never weights that bear us down, but they are wings that have lifted us up to the heights where we have seen God in a way we have never seen before. After my son was born and was even more severely handicapped than my daughter, I was devastated. I didn't know why God was making me go through this again. And for a few hours, I experienced the blackness, emptiness, and hopelessness that results from being angry and bitter at God. Nothing can be worse. Even though today I still don't understand completely why God chose this path for me, I desire to trust Him and give Him all the glory. My kids are a tremendous testimony to many. My husband and I have been involved in the church planting ministry, and God has worked in amazing ways in our lives. I think our kids have opened more doors for us, even though they can't do a thing. People learn of Jesus because of all the suffering they endure. We have seen the weak things of this world confound the wise. A witness to the unchanging truth of Romans 8:28. And here's another one. This man sees a cruel and domineering grandmother as God's tool. He says, "My grandmother was a pastor. I have a hard time accepting this, since the scriptures state that a pastor must be the husband of one wife. From the moment my father married my mother, my grandmother has tried to get my mother to leave my dad. My dad believed that she was indeed a servant of God and put up with my grandmother, believing that he was doing the right thing. Eventually, my dad could not take the hassles my grandmother kept starting, so he took a job on the road where he could get some freedom from the attacks. Once he was out of the picture, my grandmother was able to move in on the family. I remember her being the authority in the family because my father had abandoned us. I kept thinking that this is not right. All the time she was beating us for forgetting to pray and telling us that if we were not perfect, that God could not love us, she was praising the Lord. Needless to say, we had a very dysfunctional family. Eventually, God, in His grace, led me to Christ. But even after coming to Christ, I had years of anger and resentment stored up against my grandmother and my father. That is, until one day the Lord gave me a verse in Acts. From one man He made every nation of men that he should inhabit the whole earth, and He determined the exact places and times that they should live. God did this so that men should seek Him and perhaps find Him, though He is not far from any of us. When I realized this, I also realized that He had chosen my parents, and yes, even my grandmother. When I realized that God in His foreknowledge appointed my grandmother to be my grandmother before the foundations of the earth, because in some way she was necessary for me to come to Christ, then something amazing happened. I started loving my grandmother and looking at her as one of Christ's tools. She is 96 years old, My parents have been married 51 years, and she is still trying to control their lives. But even with her faults, I love her. So, as you can see from my life, lack of proper biblical authority in the home sure can mess up a family and little kids. But God, in His grace, can fix even that. Thank you so much, you who wrote me that letter. And you listeners, you don't like this idea of a domineering grandmother, do you? Well, neither do I. Does it go against the grain? Does it force the question, why? So many things in life bring that question to the fore. Why? 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 My answer, remember Jesus. Remember Jesus. The things which happened to Him. He came into this world, left His glory behind, was born as a humble baby, was hated, mocked, argued with, believed in by some, loved and followed, and by others, captured, bound, flogged, stripped, tortured, and nailed to a cross. And He bore our sins and our sorrows on that cross. Turn to Him. Turn to the old rugged cross. That's where peace can be found. That's where these two people who wrote these letters, the mother of the little handicapped children, and the man whose grandmother had controlled the lives of everyone in his family, that's where they found peace. Will you listen to their testimonies? There are thousands like them.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.